This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Louise, we must introduce our guest for the show. He's the journo who hosts the Daily Football Show and has been filing consistently on the Oli Roos during their under-23 qualification campaign. Joey Lynch, welcome to FNR.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
And thank you very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate your time. But what have you made of these first two games? A little bit hard to judge the level the Oli Roos are at, given, you know, the level of opposition.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, in my opinion, it's really been Graham Arnold. He's kind of taken that one-week training camp they had in Kuala Lumpur and used these two games to extend it. We saw in the sides of these run-out, Ivan Vujica was the only player to retain his space from the first game to the second. He made 10 changes for the Taiwan game, so he's clearly still experimenting and trying to find who's on form and who's not and who his best 11 will be to take on South Korea. So really, I guess tonight's the main event.
And Joey, who do you think will come into the folds for Graham's starting 11 tonight?
There's a number of positions which you could really say would go either way because, you know, as Josh alluded to, the quality of the opposition wasn't very good. So, like, I'm not exactly sure how you can decide who the best keeper is, judging on the displays from the Cambodians or the Taiwanese. It's going to be very interesting to see who plays in the back line because we've seen Tommy Deng wore the armband and Sutar set up a number of goals against the Taiwanese. But then you had Tasmor Dakutis, who has played in both games, and Wilson, who scored a goal against the Cambodians. So that's going to be a very difficult call. You've got the strike force. D'Agostino played in the first game, but Waring's come on and he's the only Australian to score in both games. So really, I'd say you'd probably expect Deng and McGree, the two players that wore the armband, to be locked in. I'd also imagine that Rene Piscopo will probably start, as will Joey Champness. Holding midfield's a very interesting one because we've got Aidan O'Neill, Keanu Backus, Sepp Pasquale and Denny Gionro, who played in those spaces. And really, all four of them showed good signs. So probably a good headache for Graham Arnold to have in that there's a number of options he can go with tonight.
And Joey, who has really impressed you so far that you maybe hadn't seen that much of before? I think Rene Piscopo, there's been a lot of headlines written about him as a, you know, potential Socceroos star of the future.
Yeah, he's one that was impressive against the Cambodians and he was good in the warm-up games. I have seen some statements comparing him to Daniel Arzani. I wouldn't go that far given given how good Daniel Arzani was, but he was one that's definitely impressed me. Pierce Waring's another one that's really come on strong. He made the move to Japan this year and he's really seems to have adapted to life well there, the frequent training sessions, and has now probably forced his way into Arnold's plans given that he scored in both games. And I was also pretty impressed with the work of holding midfielder Denny Gionro. I know he's not one, he's been on my radar for quite a while, but he was on set piece duty. He was really pulling the strings from that holding midfield as the quarterback of the Australian team against Taiwan. So he's another one that's impressed me.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Joey. I think Denny's been one of the most outstanding players in that Oli Roos team that I have seen over the past two games. Given the amount of changes that Graham Arnold did make from the opener against Cambodia to the last game against Taiwan, did you feel like there was a difference in quality between the two?
Well, there were some signs in both games that could be different opposition. You did notice that in the first game, the Cambodians were maybe slightly more willing to come out and attack Australia than the Taiwanese were. So I would say it was especially noticeable to me in that first game against Cambodia that I think, as Josh alluded to earlier in the show, that Arnie likes to get his wing-backs up and bombing balls into the box. That was really obvious in the first 20 minutes against the Cambodians. And it wasn't really working in that first 20 minutes until they got that goal from that long throw-in to set everything in motion. And then you could see the Oli Roos begin to play their way through the Cambodians. And you saw a lot of slicing and dicing through the back line. Second game against the Taiwanese, you didn't really get that incisiveness through the middle, but you got a lot of joy from coming down the flanks and getting in behind the Taiwanese defence more so than the Cambodians. So there's been, I wouldn't say, it's very difficult to judge which performance looked better. It's just been different types of quality, I would say, in the two games.
And Joey, I've noticed that a lot of the goals have actually come from set pieces. Do you think that's, you know, an indication that, you know, they worked on these things, or is it a, you know, physical advantage, or perhaps does it point to a limitation of the team from open play?
I'd say you'd have to say that there is definitely a physical advantage there. The Australian sides, especially when they're able to get those big centre-backs up on set pieces, are noticeably bigger and taller than their opponents. But it's very difficult to see. It's definitely something they'll have worked on, because you've got Graham Arnold there, Rene Meulensteen's also there. So you've got the heavy hitters there that will have want to have worked on these set pieces. And as we all saw, me being an England fan, you know, you can ride set pieces a long way in tournament play. So there's nothing particularly wrong with that. And as I mentioned, in the game against the Cambodians, we did see occasions where Riley McGree especially was able to play through the Cambodians at times. So I think it's very difficult to make definitive statements about the way these Oli Roos are playing, purely because there has been so much experimentation and the quality of the opposition has been poor. So you really can't give a definitive answer to that until tonight, when we see them up against a very good South Korean side.
A very good South Korean side indeed. 2 from 2. They've scored 14 goals so far, conceded just the one. How tight do you see this affair being? Do you think the Oli Roos can get over the line, or maybe will it be a draw?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, a draw, in theory, should be enough to get both of these sides through to the next phase, the AFC Under 23 Championships, which will serve as qualifiers for the Tokyo Olympics. But I doubt we'll see any collusion on that front. But it's going to be very interesting to see. South Korea did cop one against the Cambodians, which Australia didn't do, so maybe that's a good sign. But there's a lot of quality in this Cambodian side. The likes of Kim Dae-won, who Melbourne Victory fans might recognise, is playing 88 minutes against them for in the Asian Champions League. Or there's Lee Dong-kyung, who scored 5 goals in the first 2 games for the South Koreans, both times coming off the bench. So that shows that he's capable of scoring quickly. The likes of Chong Young-wook, who plays for FC Seoul, started against the Taiwanese. He's a very good one. Lee Dong-yoon plays lots of minutes for Busan I-Park in the K2 League. So there's a lot of quality there. Maybe a saving grace for Australia is that I was just doing some looking around, trying to figure out all their danger men, and it seems that K-League United is reporting that Han Chan-hee has been released back to Korea for his club side, so maybe that can help out the Australians.
And of course, Han Chan, he is actually one of the players who's made more than 80 appearances for Jenom Dragons in K2.
Absolutely. So maybe a good sign that he, for the Australians at least, that he probably won't be in action tonight if K-League United's reporting is to be believed.
Yeah, possibly a boost for the Australians. But I'm really intrigued by Lee Dong-kyung, the top scorer in the tournament so far. 5 goals coming off the bench on both occasions, especially given the hot and humid conditions. I think, you know, this tactic of the super sub might be pretty decisive in this game.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, he's come on in the first game against the Taiwanese and got goals in the 72nd and 73rd minute. So he's very capable of scoring in bunches, scored another in the second game in the 84th and in stoppage time. So he's definitely one that the Australians are going to have to keep an eye on. Now, whether you can just say that he was coming on fresh as a daisy against tired, pretty poor sides to begin with is another question, but he's definitely a super sub to keep an eye on. But also, as I was saying before, Graham Arnold's been mixing it up as well, and Australia have been scoring pretty freely in both games, so maybe we'll have a super sub of our own up our sleeves if Arnie chooses to go that way.
And I've got a bit of a different attack on this question, Joey. Do you think it's a good idea for Graham Arnold really to be managing both the senior team and the under-23s at the same time? Because we heard from FFA directly that that's one of the reasons the Socceroos didn't have a friendly in this international break, because Graham Arnold simply had too much on his plate.
No, I don't think it's a good idea at all. I mean, you can look around the world, and if you can name me another premier footballing nation that has the head coach of their senior national side also pulling under 23's duty, I'd be very interested to find out who they were, because it's probably been made, I think one of the other reasons cited for this, Socceroos not playing, was budgetary. It's also probably budgetary for the reason that we've got Arnold in charge of the 23s and the Socceroos. We saw Ante Milicic, he was already on the books at the FFA, was brought in and placed in charge of the Matildas. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, even if the Socceroos were simply playing a friendly against New Zealand or even an Oceania side, just something to get the Socceroos out there working on something, maybe blood a few youngsters, maybe get some A-League talent called up, just see how they work in the system. I think in the long run, that would be a far, far better outcome for Australian football than having Graham Arnold in charge of both. Now, don't get me wrong, it's great that Arnold's showing an interest in youth and trying to bring young players through, because as he said in his press conference ahead of the qualifying games last week, the reinforcements for the Socceroos will have to come from the Oli Roos and the young Socceroos, and apparently he's been a very in-depth in that. I remember speaking to Dennis Genro in the new year, and he said that even prior to Arnold naming his squad for the Asian Cup, he was calling up young players and talking about these Oli Roos qualifiers. So he's clearly taking it seriously, but whether it's a good idea for him to even have to do that is another matter entirely, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it's a real existential question, I guess, and probably reflects the fact that FFA, as we keep hearing, are a little cash-strapped. But on the bright side,
it would probably be a good question for the technical director to answer if we had one.
Yeah, absolutely. On the bright side, Graham Arnold is the last manager to have actually got the under-23s to an Olympics, doing so in 2008. Do you think Australia can finally, for the first time in over 10 years, actually qualify for another Olympic Games? What's your prediction?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. You'd have to say that in terms of talent, I think this squad is definitely talented enough to get there. Now, it's just a matter of whether they can realise that talent and firstly get past the South Koreans tonight and move into the next phase of qualification. But what I think will be critical in answering that question is that the AFC Under-23 Championships aren't till 2020. It's how much game time can these Oli Roos get in the months between qualifying and the tournament? Can they start plugging in minutes in club lands and really begin to grow as footballers from, you know, young prospects into men, basically? Men that are that though they might be playing for the Oli Roos, could also fill in for the Socceroos at a moment's notice if needed.
Well, Joey, thank you for joining us on Evenings on FNR, and enjoy the game tonight.
I will do. Thank you very much.